You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, welcome along to William Hill's boxing podcast. Steve Bunce is on the line. My name's Lee Phelps. Still just about getting over the weekend. Never a dull moment with Anthony Joshua in the ring, Buncey. I thought the fight was great. Really enjoyed the fight. I thought some of the interviews afterwards were really illuminating as well. And Eddie Hearn speaking on the BBC podcast with yourself and Mike Costello. I thought one of the most honest appraisals. You could tell he was speaking from the heart and he was still buzzing off the fight. But some of the things he talked about in the build-up were remarkable, really.
Yeah, they were. And you know, I'd had this feeling all week that there was something slightly wrong, that he was not completely at the races, as they say. He did these odd interviews, Lee, where he stood about 5 feet away from everybody. And there was a bit of croak in his voice. And, of course, if you're an engineer, like I was surrounded by when I was in the BBC studios, you could hear that croak. So we sensed there was something. Of course, he didn't have flu. He had a touch of what we euphemistically called man flu. He had a bit of a cold, a bit of a chest. And then he had these problems in camp. And I think that Povetkin was the worst, as we said all along, Povetkin was the worst type of fighter to have when you're not 100%. But he used his brain, changed his style, and then unleashed a series of punches that would have hurt or damaged just about every heavyweight. I'm not saying he would have knocked out every heavyweight in history with those punches, because they probably wouldn't have been there to take them, but they would have. Any heavyweight he hit with those punches would have been hurt and would have known it. Let's get that right. That's not to say, it's really interesting. You say that and people say, oh, he's not better than, you know, Muhammad Ali. And you're not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that was a fearsome ending.
Yeah.
At that level, at that quality, that was a fearsome ending.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the great things about Joshua, not only, I mean, you've said it a few times, he's got that nastiness about him for a finish, but also he's got time. You know, he doesn't rush his punches. He picks his punches even in the finish, even when the red mist could descend and you know, the excitement kicks in, the adrenaline kicks in, he still maintains that composure and he really picks his punches. I mean, he finishes as viciously as I've seen anyone for a long time.
Yeah, hey, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. He lets his hands go right at the end. And that's when he doesn't remind me of Frank Bruno. That's when he reminds me of Lennox Lewis, who did the same thing. He might have floated through four or five rounds, Lennox, and when he gets someone hurt on the ropes, he lets punches, fearsome, ferocious, nasty, smooth punches go. And this kid can do the same thing, mate. That's not to say, by the way, he's better than Lennox Lewis. Just get that right. All we can do is talk about what he's doing against the men he's doing it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this now, and this is a fact. The 7 world title fights he's had compare favorably with anybody else's first seven world title fights. Go and drop this on the blueprint of any heavyweight champion in history. And this is a perfectly acceptable 7, trust me.
Yeah, it doesn't show any
perfectly
signs of...
Perfectly acceptable. Yeah,
no signs of slowing down either. I mean, we've got Wilder versus Fury priced up here. Wilder's the favourite here, 8-11. It's going to be done in LA by the looks of things. 25-1
yeah,
the draw.
That way.
Tyson Fury, the outsider here, at 11-10. If ever there was a time, you know, to fight Fury, now is it for Wilder, because he's, you know, even though he's had those two fights, you know, no one would surely claim that he's in tip top peak condition and he's ready to fight in a world title fight of this magnitude.
No, absolutely right. Fury next April or next May might be closer to the Fury we saw in the ring against Klitschko all those years ago now, 2 years ago. But right now he's not. He's on his way to it, Lee, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He's working towards it, and he might still have enough to beat Wilder. But I think it's an ask at this stage. But he had to take it. People have asked me, why has he taken it? And it's quite simple. You've only got to look at the maps. These guys fight 2 times a year. Okay? If you don't take Wilder now, you don't get Wilder next year. And if you don't get Joshua next year, if you're Fury, then suddenly you're looking at April, May 2020. That's a long time to keep Tyson Fury interested in his dream. You've got to take it. It's a risk. But as Big Lex told me, if I'm allowed to name drop, it's a risk worth taking.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, at the moment, obviously, you know, we'll preview this fight a lot closer to the time, but if we're staring into Bunce's crystal ball and Wilder beats Fury because of maybe the timing of the fight, and then obviously the next fight you'd think would be Joshua versus Wilder, April Wembley. At the moment, Joshua's priced up at 4-11 to beat Wilder. Wilder's 2-1, the outsider, and 25-1, the draw. If Fury was to win that fight and Joshua fought Fury in April, which doesn't seem like anyone wants to. I thought, again, you know, Eddie Hearn talking about Fury quite openly and honestly, saying like, you know, thinks he's a great, you know, great guy and all that sort of stuff, but he stinks the place out. You know, whether, you know, that fight would sell, whoever it is, by the way. 8-13,
yeah.
Joshua 8-13. So, you know, still an odds-on favourite. Fury 5-4. And one just to throw in here, Buncey, that they've not priced up Joshua versus Dillian White, which we probably end up seeing anyway, but they've priced up Joshua versus Oleksandr Usyk. 1-4 Joshua, 11-4 Usyk, 25-1 the draw. Usyk fights Bellew, of course, doesn't seem far away, does it? Second week in November. Usyk's a big favourite there as well to beat Bellew. I get some cracking fights coming up. I know we say this all the time, but some absolute belters coming up, isn't there?
Now, there are some belts coming up. And if you can get that Usyk figure, the Usyk odds for the future, just having it now, you know, Usyk to beat Joshua at some point in the next, whatever, 36 months, throw on it, because we're going to see something with Usyk. He's the perfect shape to move up in weight and retain his strength, his power, and his speed. I think we're going to see Dillian White next April. If Tyson Fury wins, then Tyson Fury against Joshua is a massive fight. It's an enormous fight. If Wilder wins, then Wilder against Joshua is a massive fight. I still see there being problems there. I really do. Also, if Fury beats Wilder, they're going to have a rematch.
Mm.
Even if it's a first round knockout, they'll have a rematch. Let me tell you something. If Wilder and Fury is close and exciting, and in the sense that it doesn't have to be a long drawn out five knockdown second round stoppage to be exciting, it can be differently.
Mm.
You know, Eddie Hearn was doing his bit to promote his man the other day and being as polite as possible in his assault on Tyson Fury. It was terrific. It was brilliantly diplomatic because Eddie's smart like that. But that's what that was. Let's not imagine that was anything other than that.
Yeah.
Anybody that thinks Fury against Joshua isn't much of a fight is crazy. You will not be able to buy a ticket for that. Even on StubHub, you won't be able to buy a ticket for that fight. So listen, Lee, worst ways we get to Fury against Wilder on December the 1st, probably in LA. It'll be announced officially next Friday. Only probably, it's not confirmed yet, but it looks like the Staples Center. And then a few weeks before that, and in 6 weeks' time, that's the way to look at it, we get Usyk against Bellew. That will also sell out. And then we get Frampton at the end of the year against Warrington, and we maybe get Dillian White in a fight, and we get half a dozen great British title fights. We said a few weeks ago that September, October, November, and December of 2018 will be 4 months that can go back in history to any period, any decade, and compete. They'd be brilliant.
Absolutely, yeah. It's an absolutely magical time.
What a time to be alive.
Ah, superb, superb. Let's have a look at this weekend's fights then, Buncey. Obviously, we've got the final of the Super Series, which we're looking forward to, in Jeddah, of all places, the King Abdullah Sports City. It's the WBA Super World Super Middleweight title and WBC Diamond Super Middleweight title belts on the line as well, of course.
And that
big Super Series trophy as well. Before we look at Groves versus Callum Smith in the final, let's have a quick look at Chris Eubank Jr. In action against JJ McDonough. Eubank Jr. last seen losing to Groves in that... I watched that fight again the other day, actually, once. I had a long train journey and I just sat watching various fights on YouTube. I watched this fantastic 10-minute piece. There was four parts of 10 minutes, and it was the best final rounds in history, most dramatic final rounds. Great, just brilliant. And if you go and search, just search most dramatic final rounds in boxing history, four parts, from recent to quite a few years ago, some brilliant stuff in there. But their final round was in there, the Groves Eubank one. So what I ended up rewatching the fight as well because I just wanted to remind myself. It's been a while, Buncey, hasn't it? That it seems like it's been a while. It hasn't been that long in terms of it seems longer ago than 7 months ago.
That's long enough, Lee.
Yeah, but he's got something to prove here, hasn't it? Because if we cast our minds back to the aftermath of that fight and Chris Eubank Senior, the way he was talking. So his record reads 26-2. He lost, of course, against Billy Joe Saunders. And he's fighting McDonough, who's 32, whose record reads 16-4-0. He's been stopped once. And that was way back at the start of his career. But he's lost three times on decisions. I think he lost in three round fights. This looks like a perfect fight to get back on track, Buncey, for Chris Eubank Jr. He's 1-25 to do it. McDonough is 9-1. Does he stop him?
Well, you'd like to think he stops him. I mean, this guy lost last time out to a kid having just his third fight in some sort of tournament. Three rounds.
Yeah, it was like a
prize fight style thing. So, in all fairness, he's perfect. There's a couple of things that McDonough's got that no fighter likes to face. He's quite tall, about 6'2", and he's a southpaw. So that makes him considerably bigger and a bit awkward. But I think Eubank has an awful lot to prove. And I think people are... I mean, let's talk honestly. I think people might be becoming a little bit weary with Eubank, becoming a bit tiresome. You know, we bought into him before the Groves fight. A lot of us thought that, that he might be a bit too fresh and he might have a little bit too much in his repertoire, in his arsenal. But in the end, it was a subdued fight. Wasn't a lot in it, but it was one of those fights where there wasn't a lot in it, but Groves just about won everything, every part of it. Eubank was there, but I mean, I thought Groves won it quite wide. I know people think it was really tight. Eubank thinks he won, and a couple of people I know who I value as good judges, they also thought Eubank nicked it. I didn't. I thought Groves just about nicked all of it, but it was tight. It was decided by margins, and that's because George Groves is so experienced and so smart, and he made Eubank look a bit like a novice at times. And then, of course, after the fight, as you alluded to, Chris Eubank Sr. completely put his son away, and I saw him shrinking. It was awful to watch. I didn't enjoy that. Yeah. At all. So I fancy Eubank. I fancy Eubank really big, and I fancy him trying to make a statement, assuming that the next fight, which we're talking about in a minute, isn't exactly a slugfest. I fancy Eubank ends up stealing the show with a stoppage in about three rounds. I really do. I fancy he's going to jump all over this kid.
Let's have a look at the final then. George Groves against Callum Smith. Callum Smith's record reads 24-0, 17 stoppages in there. Last seen beating Niki Holtzgen. In Germany. Eric Skoglund before that, Luke Blackledge. There's some... The names on his record are perfectly acceptable, Buncey, but he hasn't been in the ring with the calibre that George Groves has been in the ring with. Obviously, we know a lot about George Groves' career, not only kind of going back, which this seems like years ago when he fought James DeGale. It is now 7 years ago, Buncey.
Seven years ago. He won the British title 8 years ago. The James DeGale fight is 7 years ago. Even things like Groves and Badu Jack. The Frotch and Badu Jack fights are four and 5 years ago. There are five or six really good names on George Groves' record. And as he said to me before the Eubank fight, he said, "I can't believe how much I know about this game." And he wasn't bragging. I think he's realised in the gym sessions, the time he's spending with Shane McGuigan, boy, oh boy, I've accumulated a lot of knowledge, and I've accumulated it the hard way, being knocked out by Frotch, having my heart broken by Frotch, beating DeGaulle in a ridiculous, brilliant fight of unbeaten fighters, pushing Badu Jack and then losing the narrowest and tightest of decisions. Those are rounds there. There's nearly 50 rounds I've just mentioned there, 45-odd rounds. Those are rounds that are priceless.
Yeah.
Callum Smith doesn't have any of those rounds, let alone those names, under his belt. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, nearly 200 rounds Groves has boxed, and like you say, a quarter of those would have been absolutely, rounds you couldn't buy. The betting, Buncey, I thought Groves would be shorter than this, and I'm wondering if it's maybe a touch of kind of, he's not the most kind of the trendiest of boxers to want to get on the side of. George Groves is 8-11 Callum Smith 5-4. That's about as close to a pick'em as we usually get in boxing. A couple of enhanced odds. There'll be more on the day on the Friday. Callum Smith by decision or technical decision was 11-4. Now 100-30. Groves to win by stoppage was 11-4. Now 7-2. We've got round betting. We've got the method of result. We've got grouped round betting, total rounds, alternative group round betting. Is that how you see it, Buncey? In the end, will it just come down to George Groves knowing a bit more? Where are we in terms of the levels? I was going to ask you, how does Jamie Cox size up to Callum Smith? Because I see them as being kind of, in terms of records, they're very similar. I think Callum Smith's a better boxer, a bit further on than Jamie Cox, but Groves dealt with Jamie Cox in a pretty easy manner, didn't he, in the end?
Yeah, good. I think Jamie Cox is more explosive than Callum Smith, but nowhere near as well schooled as Callum Smith, and more than that, nowhere near as well groomed and trained and prepared as Callum Smith. So he won't make the mistakes. Jamie Cox, you know, was letting it all go, so to speak, and found himself vulnerable as he got tired really quickly. Callum Smith's not going to make that mistake. I think I really can't see a George Groves stoppage of Smith. I could see George Groves getting caught late in the fight by Callum Smith if George has made himself a bit tired. I'm not sure about the rigours and stress of getting to Jeddah, by the way. You know, there's lots of stories floating around about how difficult and how hard and how hot and how difficult everything is for everybody. But hey-ho, as they say in trade, it's a new venue, and it's hopefully a venue that opens up a little bit more, because it won't hurt anybody to have something like this taking place in a country like Saudi Arabia. I just can't get away from a Groves victory on points. I just can't get away from that. I can't see myself to go picking and sloshing and sliding around. And it might very well be tight. Joe Gallagher no doubt will scream the place down. But I just cannot see under any circumstances how it can be a different result than that. I just can't see it. It's just got George Groves points written all over it.
Do you think the actual event and the venue don't make any difference to the two boxers? I mean, it's the same for everyone, you know, talk about all the heat, but in terms of it being, I can almost visualise, there's not going to be droves of Groves supporters going over there, or Smith. It could be quite a sterile atmosphere in the nicest possible sense, because you don't get songs being sung in, you know, some of the, you know, when we see fights abroad. How do you think that will affect them, Buncey?
I don't know if it will affect Callum Smith too much, because he's not necessarily been rocking and rolling at the top of massive bills with thousands of people chanting his name. But George Groves might need a little bit of that. Might be a bit dependent on his fans, and they're very vocal. Lots of them, you know, he has a bit of a following at Chelsea's beloved club. So yeah, George might be wondering a bit where the noise is, but at the same time, he's got some calm hands in the changing room. Assuming Barry McGuigan travels with his son Shane, assuming Barry can get a visa, and he travels with his son Shane, they'll be calming him down. And at the end of the day, the fact that there'll be no great noise or atmosphere should not affect either of them. I think there's a situation and there's an argument that in a hard fight, your fans can help you. They can push you on. But no one's got an advantage here or a disadvantage.
But see, that Groves by decision is just a smidgen under 2-1. So I think that's plenty fair enough. That I think if you sound confident on that. So I think Groves, if you fancy Groves anyway, I think 8-11 is probably worth a little go. But at 7-4, we'll bang the hammer on the table and say we're done there, Buncey. got plenty more to come in the next few weeks, of course, into November. Yeah. So enjoy this weekend. Enjoy the Friday night in Jeddah. I know you're not travelling over there yourself, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it from afar.
Stop press, as they say. Hold the back page. There are rumours circulating viciously right at this moment that I might be. It's one of the oddest and strangest tales yet. I don't think the next time we speak I'll be telling you a story of a visit to Jeddah, but I just might be. Let's leave it at that.
Fantastic. Buncey, always a pleasure. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Lee. Speak to you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.